Best not ride for a while. Horses rest or die.
That's why I stopped here.
Ryan brushed back his wild crop of hair with stiff fingers. Sleep tugged at his eyes like dead weights, and he jerked his head to try to stay awake. This wasn't the time or place to catch some sleep. Soon, though, they'd find some place to make camp, and he'd get some rest then. Grunting an acknowledgement, Jack awkwardly eased himself off the roan mare with his good arm, the other tucked inside his shirt, stained dark with blood. He had caught some flying lead in the fight to get out of Rock Point, but there had been no spurting of blood that would have resulted from a major artery being hit. It was only a flesh wound, the small caliber round having gone clean through his arm without even hitting the bone. Soon it would be just another scar on the albino teen's body, lost amid the dozens of others.
My dear Ryan, are you quite all right?
A silver-haired man sat easily in his saddle, as if born there. Dressed in a frock coat and frilly white shirt, with an ebony walking stick thrust through his belt like a sword, Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner seemed to be a refugee from the 19th century. A World War I web belt encircled his waist, the closed pouches bulging with ammo for the colossal hand cannon resting on his hip. The large blaster was a Civil War-era Lamar revolver, a 9-shot .44 caliber that used black powder. Though Doc looked deceptively old, he could wield the Lamar with authority. Fighting back a yawn, Ryan scowled at the other man and then shrugged.
I could use some coffee. That and an MRE. You have any?
Doc nodded in understanding. MRE stood for Meal Ready to Eat, and the pack included a main course, snack, gum, cigarettes, candy bar, dessert, coffee, sugar, moist towelette, and even toilet tissue for afterward. The companions found the MRE packs regularly in the redoubts, often with the protective Mylar wrapper ripped open, the food inside dried and useless. But they had a few of the precious rations saved away for when they couldn't hunt for meat or trade for food at a vill. Against his will, Doc had been an experimental test subject for Operation Kronos, the use of the Matrans units for time travel. He had been abducted from his quiet university home in Vermont in the late 1880s and thrown rudely into the nuclear wastelands of the Deathlands. For a very long time, his mind had been shattered by the event, memories lost and reason gone. But the episodes of madness were less and less frequent these days, which the scholar took to mean that he was slowly becoming adjusted to the present. He found this oddly disturbing. Doc was still grimly determined to find a way to go back in time to his beloved wife, Emily, and his children. They were long dead and buried in the present, but still alive and well in the past. Someday, somehow, Doc would return to them, and God help anybody who got in his way.
Indeed I do.
Doc slid off his mount to rummage in his backpack until he found a foil-wrapped package and tossed it over.
What's mine is yours, my dear Ryan.
Nuke me, but coffee sounds like the best idea I've heard in years.
JB contracted his scope and tucked it back into the canvas bag, nestled between a thick coil of homemade fuse and several jars of grainy black powder.
Has to be cold, though.
Ryan fumbled with the envelope from the MRE pack.
Still too dark for a fire. Up here we'd be seen for miles. Might as well shoot off a bastard flare.
Did go sleep?
Dean broke a granola bar in two from another MRE pack and ate one part while giving the other to his horse.
Makes sense that they'd sleep during the day.
Yeah, sunlight on APC. Be fucking hot by noon.
The huge animal gobbled down the tiny morsel in less than a second and impatiently shifted its hooves, hoping for more. The others whinnied and nickered for food, hungrily glancing at the weeds again. JB straightened his fedora.
Lethally hot, you mean? I remember when we traveled with a trader, we would sometimes find deaders sitting behind the controls of an armored wag, the stink of roasting flesh filling the air inside.
How delightful.
Doc frowned, revolving the cylinder of his Lama to inspect the load in each chamber.
Thus the only question is, who is in the infernal contraption chasing us, Gaza or Hawk?
As carefully as mixing explosives, Ryan poured the 100-year-old coffee crystals into his partially filled canteen, then screwed the cap on tight and sloshed it about for a minute before taking a sip. It was cold and strong, but he could feel the caffeine wash away the fog from his mind, and after another swallow, Ryan passed the container around to the rest of the companions. Each took a measured swig, and the canteen was passed around twice before it was finally drained.
Needed that.
Jack shifted his wounded arm inside his shirt, the dried blood making the material as stiff as old canvas. Mildred opened the flap on her satchel and went over to the teen.
I really should look at that wound before it becomes infected.
No time for that.
JB gazed toward the eastern horizon.
We gotta keep going. We're too damn visible on top of this dune.
The pinkish glow of true dawn was expanding across the sky. Soon, night would be over, and the heat would really start to increase. Dean wiped the crumbs of the granola bar off his face.
Sun up will bring out the millipedes and scorpions.
Then we water the horses one last time and ride.
A touch of his old strength came back to Ryan. Fatigue still weighed down his bones, but he felt good for another couple of miles. It would be more than enough time for them to find some shelter from the heat and the bugs. There were supposed to be some ruins to the southwest of there. Those would do fine if they weren't too far away. There was hard wisdom in his words, so the weary companion saw to the needs of their mounts with what supplies could be spared. Draining off the last of her canteen, Christy refilled it from the big leather bag she had grabbed in the corral when they stole the horses. Cupping a hand, she pooled some water in her palm and offered it to the chestnut mare. Eagerly, the horse lapped it off her skin and nudged her for some more. But as she refilled her hand, the animal sharply inhaled and then trembled all over. As the horse suddenly fought for breath, blood began to trickle from its mouth, its eyes rolling upward until only the white showed. Christy cried in horror, dropping the canteen.
Gaia!
Weaving about as if drunk, the animal dropped limply to the ground and went into violent convulsions before going very still.
It's dead.
The woman then jerked her head to stare at her wet palm as a horrible realization filled her with gut-wrenching dread.